Dvar Malchus Vayischanan. Shabbos Parshas Vayischanan is also Shabbos Nachamu. What Shabbos Nachamu? Shabbos Nachamu is the first of the seven Shabbosim of comforting. Nachamu, from the word comforting. And it's named after the Haftarah, which begins with the words Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, which means be comforted, my people, Hashem says to the Jewish people. So this double expression of Nachamu, Rebbe says, is a double comforting following the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first one and the second one, on Tisha B'Av. So we had a double Chorban, we need a double Nechama. It implies a true and unlimited comforting after the destruction of Tisha B'Av. And the Rebbe points out that since the comforting is not only words of comfort and the like, but rather through the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, how do you comfort it? You're truly comforted when the thing that was causing you the sadness is rectified. And in our case, we're sad over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the true comforting is the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, that's one of Mashiach's jobs. The first Beis HaMikdash was primarily, the greatness of it was primarily due to revelations from above to below. The second was primarily an effort from below to above. They built it after they came back from above it. The third Beis HaMikdash, which is eternal, why is it eternal? Because it will be a union of these two qualities, above to below, and below to above. In other words, and this is explained in the original Sikh in footnote number 52, the revelation of godliness that occurred in the first Beis HaMikdash was so powerful that it nullified the worldly reality of those in this world. Someone who walked into the first Beis HaMikdash, he saw Elokus, but he didn't see the world. This the Rebbe Rashab explains this. The second Beis HaMikdash emphasized the integration of godly revelation into the worldly reality of those in this world. It was a different experience. The third Beis HaMikdash is going to be unified in the third and eternal Beis HaMikdash. This primary difference between these two directions is that the integration of godly revelation into the worldly reality of those in this world, in a way in which it does not shatter their reality, takes a long time. Similar to the process of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua, which took 14 years. Hashem gave them the land in one moment. They crossed over the yard in one moment, but it took 14 years to get things organized. This is similar to the process of going from Tisha B'Av to Chamish Aser B'Av. And what do the Chazal say about Chamish Aser B'Av? There were never Yamim Tovim for Yisrael like Chamish Aser B'Av. So what happened on the Chamish Aser B'Av, the 15th of Av, that awards it such a grand description? So the Gemara says a few things that happened on the Chamish Aser B'Av. And the first one, and the main one, and the one that Rebbe always mentions when he discusses this, is that those who were decreed to die in the desert ceased dying on that day. To explain, this is the background to that story. Those we're talking now in the times of the Midbar, the Meraglim went out to Eretz Yisrael, they came back, and they said it's not worth going in there. So those Yidden who accepted the testimony of the Meraglim about Eretz Yisrael and didn't want to enter Eretz Yisrael at that time were condemned to die in the Midbar on the same day, Tisha B'Av, during the next 38 years. Each year on Tisha B'Av, those who reached 60 years old would dig graves, lie down, and in the morning they wouldn't get up because they passed away according to this decree of Hashem. In the final year, the last group, meaning they were the youngest when it started, and when the Meraglim came back, they were the youngest group in the decree. So they followed the same procedure, only they were surprised to wake up the next morning. They woke up. So they said, okay, we must have made a mistake in calculating the day of the month, not the 9th, it must have been the 8th. So the next night they lay down again in these graves that they had dug, and the next morning they also woke up, and they continued this way, probably we made a mistake, until they reached the 15th. What is on the 15th of the month? That's when the moon is full. When you see the moon is full, they knew for sure it's now the 15th, it's Tezvav, and they knew that they had not made a mistake in the date, but rather that Hashem had annulled the decree, and therefore it's a great Yom Tov for the Jewish people. In other words, the decree had been annulled when? On Tisha B'Av itself. There was the decree was for Tisha B'Av. At Tisha B'Av it was annulled. But it took them until the 15th of Av for them to realize this, to internalize it and integrate it. Similarly, the birth of Mashiach on Tisha B'Av is not immediately recognized. This Rebbe says in the Sicha, but it takes a long time to be realized, internalized, and integrated. The Rebbe expresses it like this, quoting the Rebbe. When the moon is full, it is known with certainty that Mashiach was already born on Tisha B'Av, similar to what we find regarding the establishment of the 15th of Av as a Yom Tov, even though the decree had been nullified on Tisha B'Av. The moon, as we know in Hasidus, hints at the Jewish people, and the full moon means that the Yidden, the Jewish people, are at their peak of receiving the light of the sun, Moshe Rabbeinu likens to the sun, in a complete and perfect manner. So saying that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av means a dimension of his revelation. It does not mean his physical birth. The Rebbe brings the Maharal and the Abarbanel who say this. And if you take a look at the Abarbanel, Eslecha, and the Maharal of Prague in Netzach Yisrael, this is footnote 93 in the Sicha, so he points you to page 132 in the Maharal, which speaks of the birth of Mashiach. And then, if you continue reading on that page, the Maharal writes how Mashiach's name is Menachem, the Comforter, because just as the Comforter must be distant and removed from the mourning of the one he is comforting, similarly Mashiach, whose name is Menachem, is so distant and removed, he's so high from everybody else and the rest of the people, because he's on such a lofty and elevated spiritual level, thus he's able to comfort them. Okay, so the Rebbe says that again, Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, meaning a dimension of his revelation. But even after Mashiach himself becomes spiritually large, the exile is drawn out, and so that it will be in a complete and perfect manner. It's why Mashiach's already exactly what it needs to be, but the Golus is drawn out so that his revelation and his acceptance, etc., will be in a complete and perfect manner, also as regards its integration by those in this world. In other words, he, from his side, is a full Mashiach, but we need to be able to integrate it, and that takes time. So we understand from the Rebbe's words that as far as the revelations from above are concerned, Mashiach is here and nothing is lacking. But nonetheless, the state of Golus continues because the process of our accepting and integrating this new reality is a time-consuming process. And of course, it's up to us how whether we speed it up or not. Now, here where the Rebbe ends the Sicha with the Hora, the instruction of the Rebbe here is to emphasize again the need to learn in Yanim Mashiach v'Geula, especially in Pnimis HaTorah, in a way of laboring in Torah. In other words, you don't just read it, you labor to understand it, you look up the footnotes, and what does it say over there, and laboring in Torah. And the Rebbe's to quote the Rebbe to finish, and may it be Hashem's will that through contemplating these matters, we should merit immediately to see the true and complete Geula immediately mamish.